The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised. The broadcast is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. The beautiful game from her point of view. Amy, Shereen, Signe, Claire, Rhea, just to name a few. Broadening perspectives, horizons, and minds. You're tuned into the broadcast on Footy Prime.
These merchants of badassery. All right, we're going to get right into it. This is the broadcast. This will be kind of bits and bobs of our women's national team and club competition in advance. Like, the big news this week on the docket is the men's national team roster reveal, which is happening this Friday, May 29th. But before that, Wednesday, May 27th, will be the women's national team roster reveal of its own for the June camp. Not as much as of pomp and circumstance, but still very cool. And I thought, in the spirit of that, so some quick notes just on our national team players doing very well, winning silverware, as we mentioned last week. Canadian Ashley Lawrence, unfortunately, after a formidable second half by Barca, lost 4-0 in that Women's Champions League final. Evelyn Vienne and Maya Antoine added to their trophy haul, doing the double after Roma defeated Juve 1-0 in a Coppa Italia final. Chloe Lacasse continues to play provider for Utah. She's doing very, very well as she rolls into form off of that ACL and hopefully brings that form back to the women's national team. But I wanted to ask you guys, with the form that Quinn is in, we've seen a little bit of a rocky start for the Rise, resurgent in the last two matches, an important victory again. Sigs, you covered it with her own Craig Forrest on the weekend over AFC Toronto, who are struggling because they're missing Sarah Stratagakis and Esther Okoronkwo, but a really poor first half for them. But about Quinn specifically, the way that they are driving the play in that midfield, again, a little bit of an uneven start from Quinn in my estimation, but convincing performances in the last couple of games. Do we think that Quinn is doing enough to merit inclusion in the next window for Casey Stoney's Canada?
I say erase the first two games of the season. And yes, the last two games have shown me that Quinn has the ability and the skill set that no one else in that midfield has. And that is not only the technical ability, but it's just the ability to check over the shoulder, to know where the pockets are, to be able to switch the play from, you know, on a dime. Mm-hmm. No one, in my estimation, has that skill set. My concern is that I think we've seen them exposed a little bit defensively.
Yes.
And if you're going to play a little bit of that holding role, which I think Quinn does, that might be the one knock against them.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. Shereen, do you have a take on it? Quinn to women's national team or to our national team?
I do. I didn't fully, I think, understand at the time why they weren't considered again, because I think there's someone with their experience, and which is huge, particularly when we're looking for a fresh, not necessarily young, but new, you know, people to join the senior women's team. I think for me, it's a consistency piece, and I don't know if it was injury or a knock or whatnot, but the last time we talked is, or we were on a call with Casey Stoney, Casey had mentioned that Quinn and Casey understood, they come to an understanding was the word she used around that decision. And part of me is like, I love Quinn's nonchalance. Like, they're the most nonchalant, as the kids say, out there. But part of me wonders whether this was a Quinn decision or a Casey decision or a bit of both. And I feel like if Quinn wanted it, they could have it, because their game IQ, their understanding of the play is still spectacular. We're seeing that. When I think of Quinn, I think of like converted pens. Like, that's just a no-brainer. But that experience and the confidence with which they approach the game is also really important on, you know, any squad. So I would say, I don't think they're ever formally off consideration. Mm-hmm. It's just, for me, I'm wondering whether they want to be at the table.
Oh, interesting. So you feel like it might be coming from Quinn.
I do.
They have removed themselves from consideration.
Yeah, this opinion is going to require a huge amount of sleuthing on my part, but I'm wondering because...
We're speculating.
Absolutely speculating at this point, but just with Quinn's performance right now and just doing it, we see glimpses of that brilliance for sure. And they're not like by any means old, like at all, you know what I mean? And had I believe an injury, was it a hamstring injury? It was a leg injury for sure. It wasn't a knee.
I think it was an ankle, and there was an ankle? Some concussion issues, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
There was a myriad of issues last year that Quinn had to contend with.
But it wasn't anything to render them like outside of playing at all by any means. So, yeah, I'm saying I would love to see them in. I think they have an experience that is very necessary and an approach that I think would be very welcome.
Yeah, and I think their profile, so you look at the midfield, and I'm going to also include more advanced players playing either a box-to-box or a number 10, kind of more that creative piece for Canada. So we had Mimi Alidou, Kaylee Hunter, Fleming, Grosso, Regan, Owujo, and Wickenheiser. And beyond your locked-in starters, who for me is probably out of that group, Fleming, I don't know if anybody else is locked in there. I think that there is a lack of depth in terms of the talent and in terms of the standard of play that we need in order to compete versus tier one opponents. And I think what impresses me about Quinn, which for me, I'm convinced, I think that Casey Stoney needs to give them a look in. If it's not now, I don't know when it's going to be, because then you have October and then you have World Cup and Olympic qualifying. So what's impressive about what Quinn has done this season is they have performed, they're setting the tempo, they're dictating the play without Holly Ward, without Lisa Pachursky, without being flanked by Sam Chang, and without the dynamism of a Jasmine Spencer in the wing. I mean, you do have, you know, how impressive Mia Ponte has been. I think you saw Jess DeFilippo and Abdu perform the way I think that we expect them to. That is better, and that's why they're getting results. It's not just the one player. But what does give me pause is Quinn's pace and mobility. Are they able to translate what we see them doing well in NSL to an international environment and to that standard?
So just I have a question for you, Amy, just scaffolding off of what you just said. The fact that Rise is now missing Chang, Pachursky, Ward, and all that, do you think that highlights Quinn's strengths, or does that put them in a vulnerable position on assessment?
I was saying in terms of my assessment, and I agree with what Cigna said, a rough first two games, way too many careless giveaways, didn't take care of the ball, didn't show their typical composure on the ball. But what they have done since, and I know it's a very small sample size that we're working with because we've only just begun the sophomore year of NSL, but I think the way that they're performing now and surging into form in the absence of all of those really important pieces makes their performance of late all the more impressive.
And for those that don't know, so sophomore means year two.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're starting to see also like the combination and how complementary Quinn can be with Reyes, a combination play, the way they're releasing players into space. Siggs, you were on the call, you can speak to this more, but DeFilippo dropping a little bit deeper, combining with Reyes and Quinn being that anchor, that pivot for them in driving the play.
And the decision-making. It's the decision-making of when to be direct, when to go back, settle down, when to go in combination short, when to switch the play. It's all of those things, the decision-making that takes the years of experience to Shireen's point. And when else are you going to have, I mean, there's some of those Olympic gold medalists, the Olympic bronze medalists, the World Cup experience is not there. You need some of that on a roster. And so Quinn provides that. But we'll see.
Yep, we will see. And I will just put a bow on this conversation before we move to wrap week 5 in NSL. So somebody who has started since Quinn started to fall out of favor is Emma Regan. And we know how well Regan performed last year in NSL, a key piece to the success that AFC Toronto saw. The Iron Woman of the league didn't miss a minute of play, started strong in her transition to NWSL for the Denver Summit. But then since some additions has only played handfuls of minutes in like the last 7 or 8 contests. Casey Stoney wants players who are playing meaningful minutes. Quinn is doing that. So I'm not saying it's one's in, the other's out. It's not that easy. It's not that black and white. But I think there's an argument and there's a strong one for Quinn's inclusion in June. Okay, on that, let us switch gears to NSL. Let's go really quick to our score roundup. So this is the battle here for the top of the table. So it was the end of the homestand. The Ottawa Rapid hosted the high-flying Montreal Roses, and the Roses had a really impressive and dominant first half. A couple of tactical tweaks by Katrina Peterson for the second half, a little bit of pushback, and the enigma that was Chu on the day. So impressive in a second half, but overrun in the first. The Roses get the better of the home side. They take at 2-1. And then the Rise, as we alluded to, kind of getting down to business, taking care of it at home, and some salty words that we'll get into later on socials from the team admin as they beat Supporters Shield winners last year, AFC Toronto, still got the rings, 2-1 at Swangard. And then the big one with a couple of braces by Sarah LaMiller and Julianne Vallerand, a really impressive outing for the visiting Halifax Tides as they, I mean, absolutely resounding win here, so convincing over the Calgary Wild 4-0 to wrap week 5. So instead of going through the matches kind of one by one, and before we get to our best 11 of week 5, what stood out to you guys this week? Like just looking at those matches, player, team, spell of possession, save, anything.
Okay. So our, again, week 5 was a doozy and that was fantastic. I really enjoyed the Roses and Rapid. I thought that matchup was exciting. I thought the goalkeeping was really, really solid. There were no clean sheets. Only clean sheet this week was Foster Inman for Tides. However, Roses continue to be a thorn in everyone's side. And I love that for the storylines. I love that for what's happening. Elise Bennett needs the keys to the city. And I want not the week for that, considering Pooh won and Victoire won. But you want to do a little crossover of hockey. There's a lot of Victoire happening on the soccer side for women's sports in Montreal. So we love to see it. I had so much fun watching Halifax only because it was like from jump. I also loved listening to you two on the call. It's so much fun for me. Because I'm always waiting for Sig to go, ugh. But that's my favorite part. But that was fantastic. It was exciting. Julianne Vallerand, all I could say was, holy Hannah. And it was so much fun to see the Tides having fun at what they're doing as well, especially watching a team that struggled last year. There's just a joy that we love to see. It's reminiscent of some international teams that we love to watch. Like, I love watching football be played joyously. And that's what, you know, the Tides are giving. The Tides are high. Is there a song?
Yeah.
About that?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. So. Yes, exactly. We should leave the singing to Tiffany. There was that. I think anything that I want to say about Calgary could be summed up by their own coach, which we'll get into later.
But actually on that, did I want to read it? I sent it over in the dark web. I think it's important to mention because Sinead McSherry does not mince words. I can't find it. Move on to, I've got it right here. So this was sent from Sandra Priscina on Twitter. She said, blunt words from Calgary coach McSherry after the 4-0 loss, calling her team's performance, quote, brutal. adding, quote, to be in a stadium like this, to be in a city like this with the support, we can't take it for granted. You need to play for them if you can't play for anything else, end quote.
Okay, can I just say before we jump into that, sorry, Sig, this is my last thing. I thought Kaylin Talbert had some decent saves. She was challenged quite a bit. So I thought there was some moments of brilliance from her. She's confident. Sometimes you come out too much off your line and it doesn't pan out. But she has a swag. She has, I think, a demeanor that is necessary for that team that is otherwise lacking. And, you know, Maggie Doherty Howard wasn't on the pitch, but your team can't fall to pieces if someone's missing.
No, but with the injuries they have, and Sigs, you go on here, but that's what I'll say is we talked about that being a glaring absence for them. And because they were so shorthanded and missing those types of players, your game changers, your top quality players, and those leadership pieces, it was going to hurt. And you hoped that, you know, you had the players in the middle of the pitch who could make up for it collectively, but it was just too much to overcome.
I want to choose my words carefully here. I think people can feel for Calgary. They've been through a lot. I think I mentioned this maybe even last week on the pod. I definitely mentioned it on the broadcast. This is a team that lost their coach in March. Their interim coach, Sinead McSherry, taking over was not expected. I think she's doing the Lions' work right now. Like, they've got everybody pulling two or three jobs. They're down a coach. It happened late in the season. How are you grouping around that? Not to mention all the injuries that they've had, which followed last season. So I do have some questions about just the durability of the players on this team. And, you know, what's going on there. I think that there needs to be some questions like why are we still having the same players out with injury? Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're doing what they can. Like, you know, it's just the reality of professional sport. But when you're missing, you know, when Kali Johnson's on limited minutes, when Maya Jones is on limited minutes, when Sarita Thurton, first minutes of the season, comes in, which was really lovely to see, an impactful player. Michaela Moore, a late scratch. Ali Hess has not played yet. Who else am I missing here? You know, she said it herself, Sinead McSherry. She's like, it's a chess match out there. Like, we're managing minutes. We're trying to slot players in. The one positive I will say is it is allowing younger players to play. And that is the essence of the Northern Super League, is to develop players. Calgary is doing it force of hand, I think. But you have seen Keelan and Tegan Stewart. I know that they've been the bright spot so far, 18 years old. The way that they went from season one playing a handful of games to this year starting every game and basically being influential people on the pitch, that's what it's about. And you're seeing players like Tora Betteridge come into the game and Clara Monk come into the game. And they're not afraid to play those development players. And they're going to only get experience from this. They might be playing a handful of minutes, but that's going to go a long way. And you see that with some other teams that injuries have forced them to kind of dip into the young player pool. But I think that that's an important piece. Calgary's leaning into it. Their academy program is underway. Kennedy Crash taking that helm, coming over from the Tides. You know, I don't know what else you can say about it. It's just, it is what it is right now until they get players back. But I think that Alex Brooke and the team have to go out and start heavily, if they haven't already, start finding bodies to bring in and shore up this team, because they've got the leadership at the helm. They've got all the right pieces in place in terms of running the club. I think that part of things is really in good shape.
This is a storyline.
Yeah, the product on the pitch just isn't, unfortunately. And and actually, just one more thing about that comment about the brutal performance. And I do have to say, like, she talked about a sprint shift. We saw it against Montreal. Like, she was saying basically, like, if the ball moves 2 centimeters, you sprint 2 centimeters. Like, show some effort, because when they're watching back film, they can actually see the lulls in play. Like, they can see that they're standing, that they're not, there's no movement. Like, there needs to be a little bit more, you know. Yeah. Anyway, I feel for them. I really feel for them, but they've got to turn things around on the pitch, because you need fans showing up, and the fans are not going to come in for that product. Sorry, they're not.
Yeah. But that, I think that is why, sorry, Shereen, I think that's why, McSherry is so pissed. Like, you can kind of read through those words. She doesn't mince words, but she goes in pretty deliberately after her team. And I think it's because the effort isn't there consistently from every single one of those players. So you're missing some quality. Yes, you're missing key individuals out on the pitch who are going to go out and score you the goals or drive the play, set the tempo from the middle of the park, like your Maggie Doherty Howard, who should be back next week. It should be said, after surgery to her hand. But it's, Casey Stoney's talked about it as well with our national team. It's doing the things that don't take any talent and doing those well. Mm-hmm. So you can, you should always be able to compete.
I do like what Sig said, like Alex Birch needs to think about, like, the player pool that they have. They are riddled with injuries, but this is a theme that's come up right now. AFC Toronto is the same thing. And they just announced, you know, Linda coming, the youth international from Ghana, who's 19, I believe. Is she 20 or is she 19? I think she's 19. And what happens when your team gets pummeled with injuries? How do you maneuver? This is kind of the talent that we'll see off the pitch. How is the club managing? How is the team managing those pieces? And we'll see. This, like, these are things that are all part of this entire ecosystem, like how they're going to move, how things need to be done, what's missing. And I agree with that. Some of this is, it's like, comes down to heart. Like, could you argue that in the beginning, I really felt that while Calgary Wild was trying, like, super, like, there was this effort. And even when Callie Johnson came on, Sarita Thurton, I think her shot just missed the top of the bar. Like, there's effort, there's momentum, but those last couple of minutes, it just seemed flat. And it seemed, look, it's discouraging.
It was resignation,
but, and we've all been there. We've all been on the pitch when you're getting destroyed by someone else and it doesn't feel good. And it just feels heavy. But at the same time, hopefully, and this is my wish, I hope it doesn't happen again and again and again, because this was quite a thrashing. And a barn, I don't know, is it a barn burner? No. Yes? No.
No.
There was only one team doing the burn burning.
Well, yeah, so that's exactly.
That's right.
Oh, okay. So both parties need to be burning the barn. So, but again, it's making me think about how early we are in the season and how many injuries there are and how that'll affect these teams and how what we look like in May, end of May, vis-a-vis what we'll look like in October.
Every team has injuries. Every team is dealing with injuries right now, coming out of the preseason. Every team's dealing with it, but, like, do you have the bodies that can fill in those spots and make, you know, hold the fort until those players come back? And right now we just unfortunately have not seen that. And it's early in the season. The Wild have only played 4 games. So let's, you know, hope that that's a message from their interim coach. And I know that they have been interviewing head coaching candidates. We don't know when that news is coming down, but, you know, having one voice, in the room, that everybody can follow might, you know, maybe that's also something they're waiting for.
Yeah. But it's how well prepared you are, not in terms of a coaching perspective, but in terms of a recruitment and, like, what's coming down the pipeline, whether it's Foothills or Academy or otherwise, because everybody is going to have to deal with injuries. Right. And it's, like Tyson says, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So, like, everyone's going to be dealt a shit hand. How are you responding to that? So to that end, somebody who's been punched in the mouth recently is AFC Toronto, who find themselves in, you like that transition, Shireen? Who find themselves.
I find myself wearing big rings every time we talk about Toronto. And I was, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a tough start. So just quickly going through the standings after week 5, we talked about the Roses still unbeaten. So they're at the top and pulling away from everybody else on 13 points. The Rapid are on 9. The Tides vault themselves into third place. So talking about having a plan, being flexible, being more adaptable, you have that depth too deep at every single position and players of different profiles. And Stephen Hart was involved in the recruitment. You know, with the sporting director, with the VP of soccer in Halifax. So they're much better prepared and they have the depth to kind of move pieces around. The Rise are in 4th with 6 points, AFC Toronto in 5th place on 4, and the Calgary Wild, that exciting draw and the goal at the death, the the brace bagged by Maya Jones. That is their lone point so far in 2026. So
I just add that I am here for the pettiness and the commentary at, on social media. So when Rise beat AFC Toronto 2-1, some of the comments were pretty peppery and pretty fun. And I will say this, it's like pepper jelly. It's not like sriracha. Let's be real here if we're going to talk about pepper.
Sriracha?
Sriracha.
Like, sriracha.
Isn't that sriracha?
I thought it was sriracha.
I thought it was sriracha. But then again, I pronounce it soy lection.
That's right. Maybe you're just putting a shireen in the sriracha.
Oh, okay. Because I read it and I think Sri Lanka. So I think Sri. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I could be doing this wrong. Apologize to anyone.
Our listeners and viewers love our talk about accoutrements. But
accoutrements. Yes, they do indeed.
Condiments. Remind me to tell you guys about the grape mustard I had the other day. Anyways, that aside, speaking of tangy comments, there's some... I enjoy this. I think it's healthy for culture and it's fun to do a little ribbing. I think Vancouver being like, they're going to, what was the comment on Instagram? And then you had some players coming in there and Holly Ward from the NWSL is adding on to that. And look, healthy rivalries are important in any sport. And I don't think there's any viciousness here. I think it is really funny and it's fun to witness it and see how the players are being competitive. They're competitive athletes. It's okay for them to feel this way.
And it's all in the spirit of fun.
100%. And it's fun to watch and I enjoy it. So I am here for that. You will find me in the comments appreciating things.
Well, I'm so glad that you said that to help me with this segue. So Vancouver Rise FC, this is on Instagram. I think they had a variation of this post on Twitter, but they posted, looks like AFC Toronto needed a refresher. Us, defending Diana B. Madison Cup champs. Them, runners up. See you June 28th. And Footy Bedsheets wrote, this is Shireen, here for the comments.
just being transparent that I'm here for that. It'll be really interesting. I'm not going to miss the match on June 28th. I do want to see what happened because if AFC take that game, it's going to be obnoxious and I'm here for that also. I love all of that. I love all of it.
Okay, shall we go to our best 11?
Can I just say something about, Yeah.
You don't want to say that before we go?
No, because I'll say it over the best 11.
Okay. I have new nameplates this week.
I was going to say,
I don't know if you noticed.
The graphics look different.
Yes, I changed it up a little bit.
Love that color.
It gave me fits. So we'll see how this one goes. So very quickly for our audio listeners, this is the broadcast best 11 of week 5. We've got Riley Foster in net, who was put on a masterclass, was not very busy versus the Wild, but came up big when required. So she is in between the sticks. Then we've got our back three. So we've tweaked our formation a little bit just to fit in more players. Julianne Vallerand, maybe the player of the week with the brace, one, a screamer, a worldie, you might say. Steph Hill, strong performance for the Roses, and Chu, again, an uneven performance, but I think a stronger second half outshone that first half where she struggled a little bit. Midfield four of Lisa Petrusky for the Roses, Quinn for the Rise, Chloe Minas for the Roses, and Mia Ponte for the Vancouver Rise as well. And more Rise representation in the front line with Latifa Abdu as the nine, Sarah LaMiller for the Tides, and Tanya Boychuk, another player who scored a brace for the Roses. So who is a standout performer for you, Signe Butler?
Oi.
You don't have to just pick one.
I know. Well, it's going to be Julianne Vallerand for me, because of obviously like the defensive acumen, but the offensive upside that she's shown this season. I think like that's such a valuable asset. You know, you have your wing back being able to join the attack, being able to go box to box, like, you know, incessantly during a game. Good on set pieces, as we saw that amazing delivery by Sarah Taylor, just Johnny on the spot, to use a hockey term, and
Jubes on the spot.
Jubes on the spot. Jubes. Jubes on the spot. Converts. I thought that great performance. And just, I think I said this in the broadcast, I just think her intuition about where to be on defensively. Like she picks off passes often. She's among the league's tackles leader. She's got all the ingredients right now and has played every minute for the Tides. I think that's a really valuable player right now for them. So I would say stand out there. And a shout, I've already talked about Quinn. Mia Ponte, she played 45 minutes, made her debut the week prior in that victory over the Halifax Tides. And I thought that she was really strong playing on that left side, just a tireless worker. As Enya Heinermoller says, loves to go direct. She certainly was that. And I thought she created a lot of headaches for AFC Toronto.
How about you, Shireen Salty Ahmed?
You all know this. This is not a surprise when I say I agree with Signe. Julien Vallerand coming up. We're no strangers to defender scoring. Hello, Vanessa Gilles. This is the land of Vanessa Gilles, right? However, to do it not just on set pieces from open play is something, as Sig just talked about, is really exciting. It brings an exciting version of the game. So I love that. I also really enjoyed Latifa Abdu. Latifa don't give a fuck. And she's exciting to watch in attack. And I think there's something about her. I love her zestiness with Jess DiFilippo. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that. I feel like we're seeing Abdu settle into who she is as a player with this team. And that's good to see. I agree on Ponte. I thought she was very impressive, particularly just starting in the league. I love Cho. I love Cho's passes. I love her intentionality and the way she distributes the ball.
We have both in the league.
Oh, so Cho in the back.
Chu.
Cho's looking at the same Tides.
No, Cho. Yeah, sorry, my bad. Chu in the back on the back line. So I'm on my phone right now. So
very small. It. I went very to like small. The larger graphic because I don't know why I took a screen grab of it. And I had like a little thing in the bottom and it was bugging me. So sorry.
No, it's fine. And she's wearing the kit, the correct kit. So yeah. The Vancouver kit, it's fine. But I love her distribution. And I love, this is actually, I think I say this every week. This is my favorite 11 so far. Mm. I'm enjoying this 11 tremendously. Like, it was a lot of fun to watch the soccer. The soccer was fun in week 5.
The soccer was fun. After Amy gives her a pins, I do have some shouts, though, that did not go in the 11, I think.
Fair.
All right. I was going to spread the love around, but cognizant now that you're going to chime, maybe I won't be as generous. But I love Sarah LaMiller. Love her approach this year, the way that they've injected more quality and competition into that Tides roster, and she's leveled up her game. Like, she's always been determined. She's always set the standard in terms of the work rate, the way that she competes from minute one to minute 90. But just the quality of her play, the way that she conserves the ball, she goes direct, she attacks the box. I've been really impressed with Miller this year, and hopefully I'm not stealing any more of your shouts here, Sigs. But for the Roses, just that first goal that we saw, the combination play, the way that Minas and Pachursky have just clicked. Like Robert Rossitoyou talked about Pachursky maybe a little bit hesitant and reticent to get involved in the manner that she felt comfortable because she had too much freedom. Because he's like, you have freedom within our structure to kind of just go and express yourself the way that we know that you can. But the way that she's sparked this offense, yes, a lot of it is because they have that focal point in Bennett, but the engine of the attack, and I think the foundation of the attacking fluency, is Lisa Pachursky, is the way that she drives the play, is her energy, is her dynamism. But Chloe Minas and the way that she's finding those pockets in the midfield and combining with Pachursky, feeding her with these perfectly weighted passes, it's just beautiful to see. And then obviously the ex-Memphis teammates in university combining for that goal, Wojciech getting a first of her two on the day. It's really, really cool to see for the Roses.
Nice. Love it.
Did I say too much?
No, you didn't. I was just so.
Amy, you never say too much.
In terms of people that put in a shift this week. Mm-hmm. I have a few people. So just people who, like, I wasn't going to put in the 11 because I do think that this was an 11 that really, you know, demonstrated the week of week five, the week that was.
Yeah.
But people that put in a shift for me, and it includes two AFC Toronto players. I thought Nikki Small was very good for AFC Toronto. Like, again, to use your phrase, you know, can dribble out of a phone booth. Amy, tackles leader in the league, does not give up. Even when things were not going well, I thought she was one of their best players. And Victoria Pickett as well, who I think has been a real bright spot for AFC Toronto, has made, you know, maybe one or two missteps, I think, defensively. But like that, and I don't want, that shouldn't overshadow the work that she does offensively and the work that she does defensively. I thought, she took a licking this week.
Oh my goodness.
She did.
Oh,
she did.
Extended highlights. Like, she took some hard fouls.
She took some hard knocks. And, like, yeah. I don't want to say, like, but I like, I sort of feel like she was being,
like, targeted.
Targeted. I kind of do, like, because she does create a lot going forward. And, like, I don't know. There was just a lot of clips on that. There was a lot of clipping on that foot and that ankle and, you know, a lot of repetitive. It was basically repetitive anyway.
I will add this too, that I thought that the game with Vancouver and Toronto was extremely chippy and very aggressive. Like, it was, there was bodies flying. It was a lot. Like, it was, I sensed that, and more so than the other two matches this week for sure.
There's the Wild and Tides game in the second half in particular, because the tempo slowed, got a little bit sloppier, a little bit untidy in terms of possession from the Tides perspective. And they allowed the Wild in, and that welcomed and brought on more stoppages of play by way of more fouls.
My other show, maybe Amy, you agree with me on this. Shereen, you agree with me on this. And it's another shout out to somebody on the Tides. So, but I think anybody who watched the game will agree with us on this. I thought Sarah Taylor put in a shift, two assists in the game. And I just think, you know, back-to-back starts, has played significant minutes and has contributed in the way of tackles, but also just, I just think holding the shape of the midfield, holding the shape. And I think that that's really an underrated thing that people don't see, but I think she really held the midfield for Halifax.
I will echo that shout. I thought maybe a little bit of a rougher start in terms of her ability to keep the ball and to drive the play, to recognize when to play simply, when to turn and find those pockets. But the way that she fastened together the midfield and that line of attack was brilliant. And her service in particular on that Valeron goal, we knew Sigs, as soon as it was off her foot, that the Wild were in some trouble.
Oh,
because it was a set piece. It was a ball that, for somebody who was a target in a box, I was quite good on headers. That is what you dream of.
Yeah. It was beautiful service.
And it was a free header for Valeron, but you know, she still had to knot it in. She still had to be precise with it. But when it's swung in with that much pace and it's a flatter ball, it's whipped in like that with that much power, you just have to just knot it in. It's as easy a header as you're going to get, but still kudos to Valeron for finishing it, because it was important that they got on the board then, because that doubled their lead at that point.
If I may, I was going to ask you both a question. If Amy, I can ask my question. I'm going to have a weekly question for you both, a query.
And I'll ask JC to come up with a little theme song, because he's so good at that. And
oh, amazing.
Have you workshopped the title at all, or the name of your segment?
So I was going to say Salty Cues.
I like that a lot.
Salty Cues.
I had submitted Umami Minute, but I think that
I do like Umami Minute too. Mm-hmm. And I don't want Salty to be, and just for everybody that's out there, I choose Salty because I 100% love savory over sweet. Like, more salt on my fries, please. So it's not a negative connotation in which I'm using salty. I mean, salty isn't fucking delightful. That's when I say salty, that's what I mean. Just like the ocean. So I was going to ask you both who your Patronus is. We're not using spirit animal because it's colonial language, and I just don't think it's appropriate. So we're using Patronus. Sig, who is your Patronus this week?
Oh, is it a this week question?
Oh, no. Sorry. League-wide question.
Okay. Do I have to give a reason why, or just we just?
Are we going to
have the same person?
No, I switched.
Doesn't matter. Well, we can't have the same person. It's okay because we are friends and we like to share, and it's fine. My Patronus would be a friend of the show, Scott.
Oh, Scott, come back and visit us in the Broads.
Yes. I would say if it was this week, I would say Valeron, but I think Scott, the slide tackle machine.
Yeah, I love that. I was saying if it's a this week question, I would want to say Abdu, but overall, I feel like Boychuk for me. Intense, then does these flip things and has these moments of a little bit of distraction, but then gets locked in again. And then it's just, I love that. And there's a bit of unpredictability and creativity that I really enjoy. Ames, what about you?
My inclination is to go with Pachursky because of the tireless nature of her game. Like, that is what allowed me to have an international career, is because I had the engine and I had the determination to do that for 90 minutes plus. Didn't have the skill that she possesses, but one can dream. But I'm going to pivot. And because we didn't talk about her enough in our starting 11 for this week, or our best 11, I'm going to go Riley Foster-Inman. Because clean sheet, you said that there were lots of goals this week. There was only one game that had a clean sheet. Mm-hmm. And that was the Tides when they rolled versus the Wild 4-0. And she came up with a couple of timely saves, notably the one that she pushed over the bar where she was well off her line on Callie Johnson. It was acrobatic. She doesn't look like the most kind of prototypical goalkeeper in terms of her physique, but I have been really, really, really impressed with Riley Foster-Inman since the beginning of the year. And I think that she's just growing into her presence in between the sticks for the Tide. So I'm going to say expecto patronum, Riley Foster-Inman.
Yeah. Get out of here, Dementors.
Get out of here.
Right.
Get out of here.
See my
Get
stag. That's right.
I love that. I love that. And this can change. This can change. These questions can change. So I'm going to be tasked with coming up with a new salty cue.
But I want to know, like, if our listeners and viewers who's your NSL Patronus?
Yes.
Yeah. Let us know.
Yeah. Cause I feel like it's hard. Like, as ex players, I instinctively want to choose somebody that reminds me of me, but it doesn't have to be that. It can just be maybe somebody who has qualities that are completely different from you, or maybe somebody who embodies what you are actually like off the pitch. It can be a variety of things, right? Motivated by whatever you want it to be.
Like, I want to be Nikki Stanton, but I know I'm not Nikki Stanton. So I love her quirky creativity. I love approach. And then there's some days where I'm like, I'm just DeFilippo. No, I'm not. Like, but it's this is what I love.
We're taking on personas of
people. I know. We're like trying them on for size.
But I think
this is what
it's
love
our reality
about
TV.
But this is what I love about the league. There's approachability, or their likability rather, and how their game is different. Their characters are different, but they're an incredible slew of players, and that you. I enjoy interviewing them and talking to them. We enjoy covering them, all those things. So it's really cool. And I would be so interested to what the listeners have to say.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a way of inviting more people in to the league, into that fandom, because everybody's represented, right? On that pitch, or almost. And so that's the way that you build something in the country, is you can actually see it, right? You can see it, you can be it. So young kids can see it, but us old gals can also see it and aspire to be that.
100%. Okay. I want to be Sam Chang when I grow up.
Oh, yes, Sam Chang.
I love Sam Chang.
I know.
Because she's so poised. And I know you think poise and not chaos when you think of me.
You're the perfect balance of both. All right, pals. We've got a presser to hop on. Or at least some of us do. So we will wrap it there. But that was week 5 in NSL and some women's national team stuff. So hit us up. Any opinions you might have on Quinn, whether or not you think they should get a look into our women's national team for the next camp, and any quibbles, criticisms, or omissions maybe that are glaring from our best 11, shout it out and add us on socials, whether it's Instagram or Twitter. or a comment on YouTube. So thank you for watching and listening. And Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary as we do here on The Broads, helping you to broaden your horizons. Thanks, everybody. Cheers. Until next time.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.
Bye.
Bye.